With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor at Northern International University. And Doc, here we are in the studio again this morning, and I trust our listeners are enjoying the series that we are in entitled Cultivating a Successful Life. And we've been looking at how to do that from the first psalm. We noted that this psalm really is kind of like the gatehouse or the gate to the rest of the psalms, and it's describing the life of a person who's blessable, not just how to get blessings, but how to be a blessable person, how to have that intimacy with God that we read about in the 15th psalm, who will ascend to the hill of the Lord, who will be able to be received into his tent, who can be a worshiper. And you've been walking us through, and so far we've learned that this kind of a person, the kind of person we want to be, is somebody who's perceptive in his walk. And we saw that in verse 1 by the things that he avoids. We were using the illustration of a battery needing to get jump-started, and the black cable representing the things that we need to put off, like James 1 talks about, James 1:21. So verse 1 talks about what he needs to put off in his life. And then last broadcast, we talked about the fact that he was also a man that was prepared in the Word. And you started us off with this contrast with the word but, and talked about the fact that now he's going to start adding things into his life. This was the red cable, if I caught the analogy right.
Mm-hmm. Well, the contrast there was unlike the person in verse 1, you have to contrast your lifestyle. And this is where you get the two different people mm-hmm. involved, the two portraits. And that contrast then turns into a commitment. Mm-hmm. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In other words, that's, I developed a new love in my life. I'm not following wrong advice.
Right.
I'm not doing wrong actions. I am not having wrong attitudes. By contrast, I have turned all of that into a delight in the law of the Lord. Mm-hmm. So how often? Day and night.
Yeah.
The third word here as a subpoint is consistency.
I can't just do this every so often. It can't be a hit and miss thing.
No, it can't be a hit and miss, just like we don't hit and miss our meals.
Yeah.
There has to be a regular feeding time.
With plenty of snacking and grazing in between.
Right, a lot of grazing in between. That becomes a real time of growing. But the consistency part, how do we keep this going? And day and night. How does that happen? I mean, is that realism? Okay, you're listening to the broadcast. You're driving on the way to work. And you say, I'm going to be on a machine all day long. How can I, day and night, this isn't realistic. Or I am going to my office. Or I am going to be at a computer all mm-hmm. day long. Mm-hmm. How can this be day and night? What do you think that means?
Well, I think that the whole concept that we're talking about has to do with caring about God's words all day long. It's not so much that you're sitting somewhere reading the Bible and your head buried with an open Bible 24/7, but it means that you found a way to make that word portable and mm-hmm. to carry it around with you. The imagery of this in the 119th Psalm is somebody who said to God, I carry your words with me all day long. And I think maybe that's behind the imagery of this meditating on it, you know, day and night.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that I have an open Bible before me and I'm on my knees day and night and I have to call into the boss and say, can't show up to work today because I'm under orders to meditate day and night in the Word.
And I can only imagine that happening.
Yeah, right. You talk about unemployment figures. But the mentality is, okay, I get that truth in, and then it becomes a meditation point with me. I'm always on the line with the Master. Until
yeah.
I'm interrupted by work mm-hmm. or until I'm interrupted by another responsibility, but then I'm always back on the line with the mm-hmm. Master. His truth is always there. His meditation is always in my life. When it's my delight, I will always be making time for those things that come. And when we see the day and night, it's talking about the consistency. That literally has become the desire of my life. And we make time for what we want.
Yeah.
And how would you define meditation as compared to memorization?
Well, memorization to me is, you know, we live in a computer age. So memorization would be taking the word and putting it on the hard drive so that I can access it. Meditation would be opening up the file and actually meditating and looking and learning. And it's an action and it's an attitude. It's not a passive thing. I don't just sit there and think good thoughts. I'm actually trying to master this concept that I've put in the memory banks.
One of the ideas is, you know, we always have the truth before us. You remember Deuteronomy chapter 6?
Yeah.
Where it says, have it tied to your hands.
Have it frontlets between
your eyes on the doorpost of your home. Where the Word of God is always visible. Where you turn, the direction you turn, the Word of God is always there in our sight and in our thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
That was an instruction in Deuteronomy. Psalm 119, you have a progression of when you read the Word, you mark a truth.
Mm-hmm.
Then you memorize a truth. Then you meditate on that truth, and then you master that truth or let that truth master you.
Yeah.
But the reading allows you to mark a truth. Mm-hmm. There may be something that would really be a—
just jumps off the page.
It jumps off the page, and then you see. For example, I was reading Monday, and I was reading the passage from Philippians chapter 1. I saw something there I'd never seen before.
So you marked it.
Yeah, I marked it. Because I was preparing a message on Philippians 1:21, mm-hmm. and I was going back through, and Paul said two things, that I have intercessory prayer of you and the indwelling Holy Spirit will put me through this trial, whether it be by life or by death.
Hmm.
Christ is going to be made big in me. But I had never seen intercessory prayer in light of Paul saying, your intercessory prayer and the abundance supply of the Holy Spirit within me is going to get me through, whether by life or by death, Christ is going to be made large in my life.
So that's what marking it looks like. It's not just writing it down in your Bible, although that helps.
Yes.
You just marked it
because
it made such an impact on you.
And then I memorized that thought, and I've meditated on that. And then it goes into a file, and you think, okay, now when I see that, how crucial is it for me to ask Dr. Horn to pray for me? How crucial will it be for me as you leave for Tokyo tomorrow to be interceding for you as you go and do your ministry there in Asia?
See, that's a great illustration, very simply, of how this works. You marked it. You memorized it in the sense that you didn't, like, memorize the whole verse, although you may have. You memorized the concepts. And now you meditate them, and now you're drawing conclusions to your own life about how it works.
The day and night idea, I think one of the ideas, I used to put the things I was memorizing, I'd put in the visor in my car, help me in traffic jams, to turn my whole mentality about traffic jams. I'd say, well, thank you, Lord, this is a good time for me to back where I can look up, and I'll have it in the visor. Right now you can, with these little handheld computers, you can have that text right up there.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many things that you can do today that were not possible before. The Bible on disc.
Oh, yeah.
When we travel, my wife and I will play those passages, and I can handle about two chapters at a time with concentration when we drive, because I'll see a Cracker Barrel sign and lose all focus and think, I smell biscuits and gravy. But what it is you're constantly looking for those opportunities where the Word of God is the controlling part of your life. And it's not that you're on your knees all day with your Bible, because you're at your desk, you're going to lunch with business partners, you are doing these things. But what is dominating your whole life is the meditation of the truth of God's Word that was there. But it has to be in before it can be drawn from that bank.
So, Doc, you know, as we kind of want to bring this down to some real application for our life. I know that you teach this to all of the freshmen at the college, and you've been doing this for years. You know, you just gave us a very handy little model. You need to mark it, you need to memorize it, you need to meditate on it, and you need to master it and let it master you. That's very helpful, and you gave us an illustration of what that actually looked like in your life about the intercessory prayer out of Philippians. But how do you teach somebody to do this? You know, if you could talk to our listeners for a minute and to me and just say, okay, let me just teach you how to do what we're talking about. How would you teach freshmen, or how would you teach us to do this?
Well, you have to start out with some type of a plan. Where am I going to read?
So pick a place.
Pick a place. All right, let's say I'm going to begin with Psalms, or let's say I'm going to begin with the Gospel of John or the Book of Romans. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I know when I sit down, I'm not just going to let my Bible fall open.
Mm-hmm.
I had to laugh at a pastor was giving an illustration. A newly converted businessman had come in, and he said, Pastor, I got saved. I know the Lord now, but I don't know where to look in the Bible. He said, I'm looking at potential bankruptcy here. And I don't know what the Lord's mind is. And the pastor said, well, there are times, I don't do it always, but there are times I'll just hold my Bible up, then I'll let it fall open, and I'll take that as what God has for me for that time. Well, Wednesday he came back, the guy came back, said, Pastor, I did that, and God showed me instantly. And he said, the Bible just fell open. And Pastor said, well, what did it say? He said, it said chapter 11. He said, I got my answer. Well, I'm not sure if that's real good advice or not in that context. But you start with a plan, not just let your Bible fall open, but, okay, now I'm going to do. Now, you get your spot, you get your place. And what we do with freshmen is we give them a guideline like I did with the manna, a meal a day. Give them a question to start with. What can I learn from an ant? That's the appetizer. The main course is Proverbs 6, verses 1 through 10. Mm-hmm. And then the dessert is applying that to my life. So we did this with a youth group years ago. I wrote the Manna for Today book as a meal a day. Mm-hmm. And if they were in a hurry, it could be trail mix, or it could be take a lot of time and go into a full-blown meal with the appetizers.
And all the different courses.
All the different courses. And then the dessert, topping off with the dessert. But if it's trail mix, I'm on my way to work and I'm just nibbling trail mix, there is something there of benefit
for me. It's going to sustain me that day.
Right. And what we do is we'll start giving reading assignments to get them some kind of a model. Many of them come with a plan already. Some come with no plan at all. And then have them look for attributes of God. That's where we start them building their biography of God, where they see every time they see a truth about their God, he is my rock, he is my defense, he is my fortress, he is my strong tower, he is love, he is holy. And as we begin to learn the attributes of God, we start formulating the first part of our prayer life, which is adoration, lifting up our hearts in praise and adoration to him. And so we start them with a time, and we lay it out where Paul says, in the morning will I lift up my voice. In the morning will I cry. And then later, he says, at morning and at noon and in evening will I lift up my heart and lift up my voice. So we start them with that kind of a pattern.
Well, Doc, I don't know where our time has gone. It just flew by. This has been so rich as you've helped us to develop consistency in being prepared in the Word. But I hope that as we close our series on cultivating a successful life with the next broadcast and we see the fruit of all of this, that the Lord will motivate you and he would motivate me to take what we've heard and to actually put it to work in our life. Until the next time that we're together, may the Lord bless you.